Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Happy July 4th.
Still the same thing introduction. Well, happy July 4th.
You like that?
So do you have July 4th in Canada?
No.
So what do you do? Just go from July 3rd to July 5th? How do you do that?
July 1st. Well, you know, July 4th
is
Canada Day.
It was a joke. Do you have July 4th?
Was that a dad joke?
That was definitely a dad joke. So Canada Day. So if you lived in Buffalo, like I did for a while, they did this joint celebration for July 1 to July 4th. And it was just like crazy. Everything went on and there were fireworks on both sides of the border. And people forgot how you Canadians came and burned down our White House. Though technically that might have been British troops. But we're still a little bitter about that, just so you know.
I don't think that was Canada.
Well, you were still involved in the war. Actually, President Trump said that. Did you know that?
What?
You didn't know that?
No. What did he say?
So we were talking about in general. And so he asked the prime minister if now I'm kind of laughing. You got me started. So he asked if Canada burned down the White House in a call with Justin Trudeau. So, yeah. So... You didn't know that?
I don't even know.
It trended on Twitter and everything. It trended on Twitter.
Okay, how did Trudeau answer that?
Well, he said no. But finally, a president was willing to call out you Canadians for the truth of what you have done. You have burned down our White House. You know these Canadians. They are very violent.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you know, Canadians are shoe smugglers too.
Exactly. Shoe smugglers.
Canadians
exactly.
Just the worst.
I know, it's terrible. And I will tell you that I, as having one who's married a Canadian, I made her become a U.S. citizen because you can't trust them. You never know when she might burn down a White House.
All right. Okay. So today's question does not sound like me, like on episode 399. We have a voicemail. So let's listen in.
Hey, guys. Daniel, Todd, Ed. Really appreciate the podcast and what you guys are doing. My name is Jerome. I'm here in New Mexico and currently serving in a church that was planted back in 2010, and recently I felt a call to plant as well. And so speaking with our lead pastor not long ago, I asked him, if you could go back prior to launching and you had the opportunity to ask Ed Stetzer a question, what would it have been? And he said that he would want to know the top five things to have in place prior to launching. And so deferring to his wisdom, that would be my question for you guys. As a church planter in today's climate, what are the top five most important things that you guys would want to have in place prior to launching a church? Thanks, guys. Again, I appreciate what you do, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say.
All right. So the top five things to have in place before launching a church plant. Top five things.
Oh, I would say.
Is it just five things?
I would say the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Prayer, number two.
Prayer, Jesus, gospel. I don't think that's what he means, though. Can we assume the marks of a biblical church are present? Can we? Should we? I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. I think what he's talking about is like, should I have children's ministry? I would say yes. That's one of the top five things. I would say children's ministry.
Depends on where you're planting, though.
Well, but we're assuming it's a North American plant. You know, it's, we wrote about this in Planting Missional Churches. You probably don't remember because I did all the hard work in the book.
You just put my name on it. That's
exactly
all.
That's what
You're
I do.
So generous.
I think I would say that we think in terms of children ministry, small groups, assimilation, worship, and financial systems are in place. I think those are the five things we say in the book. And I'm doing that by memory, by the way, because it's so internalized to my life. I noticed youth ministry is not on there, men's ministry is not on there, women's ministry. But if that's what he's talking about, not the marks of a biblical church, you got to have children's ministry because of the way the culture is today. Kids aren't used to sitting in rooms with adults for that long. Small groups, because that's your connecting point. That's essential. Assimilation, because you got to move people that you reach into some relationships. Finances is one I put in there because you got to have that in place or you're going to end up in jail. And then worship is one because just most of these things kind of have a worship gathering. What? Is that bad? I don't go to jail.
Yes. No. Yeah. The processes around all of that completely. But I mean, even before that, it's just making sure that you have raised and secured enough funds to move forward.
Okay. So you laughed at my jail comment and just moved on from there. And I thought that was a great example.
Okay, what would you be doing with your finances to end up in jail?
Well, you gotta collect them. You gotta count them. You gotta have systems in place. So one of the systems you have to have in place. This is in planting missional churches, Mr. Canada Man.
No, I know. I'm asking you to just elaborate for the sake of our listeners.
Ah, I thought you were mocking and challenging my thought process.
No,
challenging's fine. No. Mocking is not.
I would never. Oh, no, but isn't that your love language, though?
Wow. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for this podcast going awry. Anyway, so as I was saying, because I think that's
how we are both on air and off air.
Yeah, exactly. This is just life. This is like when we get together, we hang out, we have fun. Anyway. And we have some music coming up. You and I are going to be together. It's going to be fun. We're going to share our feelings and sing songs together.
Talk about our Enneagram numbers.
It's our Enneagram numbers, which is an 8, by the way. My wife has texted me and said, you are most definitely an 8. And the 7 wing, I don't know what that means, but if that's what I got, yeah. I got a 7 wing. I mean, 7's a good number, right? I don't even know. That's a holy number.
It's the party.
7 lampstands, it's right?
Okay, we're going way off.
So
how do you end up in jail? Listen,
so if you don't, you got to take up the offering, right? And what are you going to do when you take up the offering? You're going to take it somewhere. Is one person going to take it by themselves, or is two people going to take it? You got to have two people take it, have two people count it. And then another person has to deposit it who's actually seen the records. And then another person has to write the checks from it who didn't count or deposit it. It's just basic systems. It takes several people to actually create the safeguards. And we go through this in planning missional churches, not to promote the book, but we do go through this. It's essential that you have your financial systems in place, or else you can be accused of mishandling funds. The funds get lost you end up in a George Bailey situation where he lost the deposit, and then boom, soon there's ghosts and you're traveling through past where Potterville. And yeah, that's a little, I kind of escalated there. Sorry about that.
I had absolutely no idea what you were talking about at the end there. Potterville?
Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, that's, man, a long time ago.
Wow.
Okay, so yes, I love the systems. Definitely we have to have those systems, such as don't deposit everything in your bank account.
Yes, that's the jail. And that's the jail option.
Yes. Now, you know what was interesting? Remember the webinar that we did with Rob Ketterling?
Yeah.
And I mean, his church is 10,000 plus people, and how when he launched, I mean, he just took out, what, 5 credit cards? Over $100,000 in debt.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. And I know people have done that. Ron Sylvia started, I can't remember his church. What's the name of his church?
He did the credit card thing too?
Yeah, so he emptied his savings, like his retirement savings.
Wow. Okay. So,
what is his name? Church of the Springs? Yeah, Church of the Springs. And I know a lot of guys actually sort of emptied their retirement and just went at it. And, they're over 3,000 people now. And I think Ron would say that was the best investment they ever had.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, we'll put in the show notes if you haven't listened to the one that we did with Ketterling. But when it comes to the finances, yeah, once again, there's a lot of people who will say, hey, when you raise and secure finances, and that is definitely, finances is definitely something you need to have in place before you launch. But how much finances, that really does depend on how you're launching and what you're launching.
Yeah, so one of my favorite people is James Emery White. Jim White at Mecklenburg Community Church. His book on reaching the nuns is fabulous. But I remember hearing him in a conference say, I wouldn't plant a church unless I had $100,000 in the bank. And so someone will actually forward this podcast to him and then he'll write me. But I'm like, $100,000 in the bank? I've never had $100,000 in the bank and planted a church. Who has $100,000 in the bank to plant a church? And so what I would say is that does take resources to plant a church, but you generally don't have them in place at the beginning. You sort of get them as you go. So for me, I've got a, depends on what kind of church I'm planting. If I'm planting a house church and a house church network, man, I don't need anything other than let's start talking about Jesus in small groups. So there's 100 ways to do this. So I wouldn't say this blank amount has to be in place. I would build from where we can and sort of make it work with what we have.
Yeah, no, that's good. And the other thing to have in place before you launch are key leaders, right? And not just people who lead other people, but people who can lead leaders.
Yeah, I think that's part of teams. Where we, in the book, we talked about systems and leaders. So we said, I think there were 5 key systems and 7 key leaders you had to have in place. And I think
guest services.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we called it guest services in the book, unless you updated that when you did the update.
We did.
I think it was more, greeters and stuff like that, but definitely guest services, what we call it today.
Yeah, guest services, volunteers, evangelism, assimilation and groups, children's ministry, worship, and finance. as kind of the seven key to have coordinators, key coordinators over those areas.
Exactly. And I think that's key. And I think we can have it as well.
Yeah. So is there anything off the map that you would say this is what you have to have in place before you launch?
Anything, or
let's say someone's
that?
About to launch. Yeah. Yeah. Some, like just something from your sage wisdom around planting and launching.
No, I
think that's, there's not many people who can say they have over 30 years of experience in all this.
Yeah. Do I have over 30 years of experience? I don't know. I haven't planted a church in 3 years, so I don't know if I think my clock stopped when I left Grace Church. And now I'm preaching at Moody Church every week. That's hardly a church plant. For me to claim to be a church planter when I'm speaking to a building made of brick in downtown Chicago seems a little much. But I would say that, you know, over the years, I think that what's happened is church plants have required more and more resources and larger teams. I don't think that's all good. I understand it. I'm generally for it. I want resources churches to have what they need to plant. But I think that for me, I think you should plant when God calls you to plant and trust the Lord for the resources. And you can develop them in place, just in time, and more. And I think doing that is a better way than saying, I got to have blank in the bank. And until I got blank in the bank, I'm not doing this.
No, that's great.
Let me just say that's not what James Emery White would say. He talked about 100,000 as a goal. I found it an unachievable goal in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, don't plant a church because you don't have anything else to do, you're like, I can't find a job anywhere else.
I think I'll go
might as well plant a church. No, there has to be that call, and when there's that call, then I mean, our God is a faithful, a good God, a generous God, and He's going to go before us, especially if He calls.
I love it when you actually talk biblically, and I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Well, I am a pastor, so. There you go. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. Hey, be sure to check out Rainer on Leadership as well. Recently, they've covered topics like 10 reasons people leave the church, new patterns in ministry training, and what pastors need to do when they're deeply hurt. Just look up Rainer on Leadership on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.